the dew that falls from above. Welcome as dawn with its light. The story of faith, a story of love, brings ever-increasing.
Thank you so much, Mrs. Smith. I asked her to sing that glorious truth this morning because if once this thought could ever get through to our hearts, 95% of all of our problems, yea, 99% of them could be solved very quickly, very readily, very easily. If we could realize the all-sufficiency of Christ to meet our every need. Will you look with me, please, to Romans 13? Thank you, Ms. Smith. That was so beautiful. Romans 13, beginning with verse 12. The night is far spent, the day is at hand. Let us therefore cast off the works of darkness, and let us put on the armor of light. Let us walk honestly as in the day, not in rioting and drunkenness, not in chambering and wantonness, not in strife and envying, but put ye on the Lord Jesus Christ, and make not provision for the flesh to fulfill the lust thereof. I'm afraid with so much turning I did not make it clear. Romans 13, beginning with verse 12. Last verse again, but put ye on the Lord Jesus Christ, and make not provision for the flesh to fulfill the lust thereof. One of Haydn's friends approached him on one occasion, and he asked this famous composer how it happened that so much of his church music was almost always of an animating, cheerful, and even a festive quality. And the composer required, he said, I cannot make it otherwise. He said, I write according to the thoughts I feel. And he says, when I think upon the Lord Jesus Christ, my heart is so full of joy that notes seem to leap from my pen. And he says, as it were, God has given me a cheerful heart, he said, I can't write any way but cheerfully when I write. When I think of the Lord Jesus Christ. Now, have you ever noticed that if someone comes into a room singing or laughing, even the most tired workers seem to go on more easily with their work and with their duties? Now, no one can really explain it, but joy is a tonic to the soul, and it is contagious, especially the joy of the Lord. And it was said of the Lord Jesus in the Scriptures, God, thy God, hath anointed thee with the oil of gladness above thy fellows. Christ's followers then owe it to the rest of the world to appear cheerful and to show to the world a joy in our service for him. And in all that we do, we should animate a Christ-likeness, and there should be a freshness about every manifestation of our lives among the people of the world, that they may realize that we've been with the Lord and that Christ is sufficient. Now, Proverbs 17:22 says, a merry heart doeth good like a medicine, but a broken spirit drieth the bones. And then 15:13 says, a merry heart maketh a cheerful countenance, but by sorrow of heart the spirit is broken. And then David said, they looked unto him and were lightened. Now as we put on the Lord Jesus Christ, the joy of the Lord will manifest itself to those around us and in all that we do. Put ye on the Lord Jesus Christ, and make not provision for the flesh to fulfill the lust thereof. Romans 13:14. Now the secret of the joyful life, the secret of the victorious life, the secret of a God-fearing life is to put on the Lord Jesus Christ. It's said of Augustine that he was so really affected by this verse. He was in a garden in the city of Milan. He was under deep conviction and great distress of soul. And he turned here to the 13th chapter of Romans, and he read this portion that I've read to you this morning. And when he saw those words, put ye on the Lord Jesus Christ, the Holy Spirit of God drove it like a dagger into his heart. And it was then that Augustine was saved, and his life was transformed from the life of a sinful reprobate to a great preacher of the gospel, and one who has left much literature for us for our blessing. He renounced his old life of sin, and he received the Lord Jesus Christ as Savior. And he says it happened when he read that scripture and God drove it through to his heart to put on the Lord Jesus Christ. Now let's notice something about it. It does not say here, come to Christ, as it does in Matthew 11. It does not say, believe on the Lord Jesus Christ, as we read in Acts 16:31. It does not say, love Christ, as we find in John 21:15. It does not say, confess Christ, as we read in Matthew 10:32. It does not say, obey Christ, as we find in John 14:15. But it does say, put on Christ and wear him like a garment. And when we have done this, we will have done all the others, because this covers all of the other things which we have mentioned. When we put on the Lord Jesus Christ, we will come to him and trust him as Savior. We will have to believe on his name and receive him as Savior. We will have to love him. We will be forced by the presence and power the Spirit of God in our lives to confess him to others and not be ashamed of him. And we will give willing, joyful, ready obedience to his will for our lives. Put ye on the Lord Jesus Christ. Now, how and why are we to do this? Well, there are four pairs of eyes that are watching us constantly. God's eyes are upon us. Hagar said this back in Genesis 16, and when she says, thou God seest me. The thoughts of your heart are known unto the Lord this morning. There's nothing hid from the all-seeing eyes of God. He knows our every failure. He knows our every weakness. He knows every tendency of this sinful flesh of ours. He knows every thought of praise that you've had in your heart and thanksgiving that you've had in your heart for him since you came into this building this morning. He knows whether you came to worship today or whether you just came out of force of habit. He knows what you're thinking now and what I am thinking. He knows your heart. The all-seeing eye of God is upon us. Then man's eyes are constantly watching us. Friends and neighbors see us, and those with whom we work are observing our lives constantly. Then our own eyes are upon us. We cannot escape from ourselves. The wickedness of our hearts is always before us, and you cannot escape the condemnation of your own soul this morning as you sit before me, and those weaknesses, those failures, those tendencies to evil, that love for pleasure, that love for sin, those inordinate affections is all there, and you're not hiding from it this morning. And that's why there are so many defeated lives and so many defeated Christians today, because you know the weakness of your heart and mind. The enemy's eyes are upon us. The devil sees us, and he's there to taunt us, and he's there to mock, he's there to accuse. And in the light of these four facts, there's every reason why we should flee to the ark of safety, the Lord Jesus Christ, and find in him the answer to our need. Now let's go back to number one for just a moment. Put ye on the Lord Jesus Christ. This is the only way to escape the judgment of God, because God's eyes are upon us. He sees our sin. In Genesis 6:5 we read, and God saw that the wickedness of man was great in the earth, and that every imagination of the thoughts of his heart was only evil continually. Isaiah 64:6, but we all as an unclean thing, and we are all as an unclean thing, and all our righteousnesses are as filthy rags, and we all do fade as a leaf, and our iniquities like the wind have taken us away. And then Jeremiah wrote in 17:9, the heart is deceitful above all things, and is desperately wicked. Who can know it? Now this is what, who can know it? This is what God sees when he looks upon your heart and looks upon my heart in its natural condition. And how then can we come before God in this condition? For he is holy and he is pure, and he has said that no sin shall stand in my presence. Well, the answer is this: we cannot come to him in that condition and be acceptable of it unless something happens. Now, the message of the gospel is that God has provided a covering in the person of his Son, the Lord Jesus Christ. God has provided a means whereby we may be cleansed from our sin, whereby we may be purged from our iniquities, and whereby we may be made acceptable in his sight. Isaiah 61:10 said, I will greatly rejoice in the Lord. My soul shall be joyful in my God, for he hath clothed me with the garments of salvation, and he hath covered me with the robe of righteousness. When we trust in the Lord Jesus Christ as our Savior, God reckons us righteous because we have put on Christ. We have put on Christ. We have covered ourselves in the robe of his righteousness. And the scripture tells us in Romans 8:1, there is therefore now no condemnation to them which are in Christ Jesus. And Ephesians 1:6, to the praise of the glory of his grace, wherein he hath made us accepted. How? In the beloved. That scripture ends there. And this is why Zinzendorf wrote and could write the great hymn, Jesus, thy blood and righteousness my beauty are, my glorious dress midst flaming worlds in these arrayed, with joy shall I lift up my head. Yes, when you're clothed in the righteousness of Christ, you can lift up your head with joy and praise and thanksgiving in your heart. You can look the devil in the eye. You can look the world in the eye. You can look judgment to come in the eye and say, it has all been cared for in the death of the Lord Jesus Christ on the cross. Now the question is, do you have that cloak of righteousness this morning? And have you been robed in the righteousness of Christ? Are you dressed in the filthy garments of your own sin and therefore condemned by God? Or are you hiding in the righteousness of Christ? Literally, have you put on the Lord Jesus Christ, and have you therefore escaped the judgment of God? Verily, verily, I say unto you, John 5:24, he that heareth my word and believeth on him that sent me hath everlasting life and shall not come into condemnation, but is passed from death unto life. Now, ever since the fall of Adam, there has been the powerful instinct in man to make him want to adorn himself. The love of self and personal adoration have taken the place of the love of to God and adoration of God. The savage hopes to be admired by those around him, by the tattooing of the flesh and his tribal markings. He hopes to be made acceptable and be admired by his associates. The fashionable ladies of our day parade themselves before the television cameras and before the world, decked in their diamonds and in their finery, hoping to be admired by the throngs. Adam and Eve, no doubt, admired their fig leaves, but they were not clothed till God clothed them in garments of skins. Now, we may be priding ourselves on our beauty and on our accomplishments and on the things that we've accumulated in this life, but God sees us in our iniquity, and God sees us in our nakedness, and God sees us in an unacceptable manner until we have come to the Lord Jesus Christ and have been purged of our sins and are clothed in his righteousness. The righteousness of God alone can cover the shameful nakedness of man as a sinner. Even the righteousness of God, which is by faith of Jesus Christ, unto all and upon all them that believe. Now, secondly, put ye on the Lord Jesus Christ, for this is the only way to escape from the mocking eyes and the criticism of men. Everywhere we are watched by others, by parents in our homes, by our associates in the homes. Those that are closest to us are analyzing our testimony constantly in the light of the life we are living before them. And we should be mindful of this. Friends are observing us, friends around us, and strangers with whom we come in contact daily are affected by the lives we live. We profess to be Christians. We profess to be followers of the Lord Jesus Christ after we've trusted him as Savior. And the world expects that we should be like him. If you read the headlines in yesterday afternoon's News Free Press, you'll notice the story following the headline that Lebanon's premier, Rashid Karama, made a statement there. And he looked at what was happening and what is happening in Lebanon today. He sees Christians at war with the Muslims and vice versa. And he made this statement. He said, if Islam allows murder, then I don't want to be a Muslim. And he says, if Christians approve murder, then I don't want to be a Christian. The statement's on the front page, even headlines in your afternoon paper on yesterday. It's a big thing because you're not guilty of murder. And you say, well, which one of us would want to murder this morning? No, but the Word of God says even to look at a man and hate him in his heart makes you as one who's guilty of murder. Jesus said that. And oh, dear friends, listen, those around us are weighing what we do. They're weighing our action. They are weighing our words. And many times they're going to make their decision for heaven or hell according to the impression that we are giving by the lives we're living before them day by day. Oh, we should manifest a Christ-likeness to this world. If we profess to be his but deny him in our living and in the words which we speak, we are hypocrites. And Titus 1:16 says, they profess that they know God, but in works they deny him, being abominable and disobedient, and to every good work reprobate. That's what the Word of God says about those who profess but do not possess a real Christ-likeness in their lives. Now, how can we avoid this terrible censure by the world and by those around us? How can we be more like him? The one way is to put on the Lord Jesus Christ and wear him as a garment wherever you go. We do not become like him by struggling or by self-effort or by trying. Now let's look at Colossians 3 for just a moment. And beginning with verse 5, mortify therefore. Put to death is what he is saying. Your members which are upon the earth, fornication, uncleanness, inordinate affection, evil concupiscence and covetousness, which is idolatry, for which things sake the wrath of God cometh on the children of disobedience, in the which ye also walked some time when you lived in them. But now ye also put off all these, anger, wrath, malice, blasphemy, filthy communication out of your mouth. That's your dirty jokes. That's your compromising language when you stand around the Coke fountain or the bar, a sandwich bar, and talk with your associates and during the off moments of your work. The language you use, filthy communication, lie not one to another. Watch your business practices, seeing that you have put off the old man with his deeds and have put on the new man, which is renewed in knowledge after the image of him that created him, where there is neither Greek nor Jew, circumcision nor uncircumcision, barbarian, Scythian, bond nor free, but Christ is all and in all. Put on, therefore, as the elect of God, holy and beloved, bowels of mercy, kindness, humbleness of mind, meekness, long-suffering, forbearing one another and forgiving one another. And if any man have a quarrel against any, even as Christ forgave you, so also do ye. And above all these things, put on. Here you find that phrase again. Charity. And that word charity means love, which is the bond of perfectness. Oh, dear one, put on the Lord Jesus Christ and look to him. Do not look to your own weaknesses. Now, Romans 8:13 says, if ye live after the flesh, ye shall die. But if ye through the Spirit do mortify the deeds of the body, ye shall live. Put to death that old life that would plague you so. Now, let's go to the third thought. Put ye on the Lord Jesus Christ, for this is the only way to escape despair and discouragement and distress in this life. Now, whenever you look at yourself and you're honest, you will see that you are a failure, that you come short of your own ideal for Christian living even, let alone God's ideal. And this brings about misery of soul to the honest man when he sees the weakness of his heart, when he sees his inability to live the kind of life even he in his weakness would want to live. And he finds himself in an attitude of defeat. You will be conscious of your sin and your unworthiness. And all this will make you ashamed. And before long, you'll be filled with despair and discouragement if you honestly face it in your life. And if you look into your heart, you'll find all kinds of pride. You'll find all forms of uncleanness. You'll find jealousy and envy and strife and unfaithfulness, even hatred. And this is all possible in the natural man. But thank God we don't have to live that way. Thank God we don't have to be in defeat. Thank God we don't have to go around in discouragement. Thank God we don't have to go around in an attitude of despair and to be under the circumstances. There is much that could depress us. There is much that can discourage us. But thank God there is more to strengthen us than there is to discourage us. And we find this in the Lord Jesus Christ. What should you do? Put on the Lord Jesus Christ and look to him. Do not look to your weak self. Do not look to sinful flesh. You're not going to find the victory there. The victory is to be found in Christ and in Christ alone. And this is why so many Christians are discouraged and depressed, always looking at self. And what they should do is to put on the Lord Jesus Christ and look to him whom they have accepted, in whom they are trusting, and who is their righteousness and holiness. And this is the literal meaning of Hebrews 12:2, where we read, looking off. That's actually what the scripture means here. If Dr. Clift would get up here and interpret the Greek for us, he would tell you it means looking off unto him. Looking away from your sin, looking away from yourself, looking beyond circumstances to him in whom you stand complete. In Colossians 2, 9 and 10 we read, for in him dwelleth all the fullness of the Godhead bodily, and in him we're made complete. Near, so very near to God, nearer I cannot be, for in the person of his Son I am just as near as he. In the person of the Lord Jesus Christ, you're just as dear to God as Christ himself. And the victory is yours if you will but look to him. But what are you searching for when you look to him? Now, Jesus in John 1:38 turned and saw the multitude following him, and he said unto them, what seek ye? He didn't say, whom do you seek? He knew they were following him. He knew they were seeking him. So he said, what do you seek? In other words, what are you looking for in me? What is it that I have that attracts you, that you want from me? What is it that you seek for? Some would only seek to look at him. They come out of idle curiosity. Is that why you come to Jesus? Is that why you're here today, just following a multitude to move toward the house of God? Or is it for some mercenary reason? Because it's the popular thing in this particular community to be identified with the church and with God's people and with Christianity. Have you come as an idle onlooker? Or have you come because of your fear of hell and your desire that you want to go to heaven and that is all, to escape hell? You're going to use him as a fire escape? Is that why you've come? Have you come to seek his forgiveness and his cleansing from your sin? Is that why you have come? What seek ye in me? Jesus said, seek him, dear friend, for cleansing, for your salvation. Seek his peace to possess your heart. Seek his power to keep you daily. Seek his wisdom to guide you in every circumstance of life. Seek his provision to sustain you in the hour of your material need. Seek his spirit to transform you into the divine image of his Son. Seek that his will may be done in you as it is done in heaven. And seek that his presence may be an abiding reality in your life day after day. And the scripture says, seek and you shall find. Yes, you'll find the remedy for your self-pity when you're in times of discouragement and distress and feeling sorry for yourself. You'll find it in him. You'll find the remedy for your sorrow when the great burden of sorrow sweeps over your soul, as it is doing even now with some of our loved ones seated right here in this audience today. Oh, Christ is sufficient. Christ is real, and many of our folk have gone through deep sorrow in recent days. Oh, how precious he has been to them, and he will be to you. Here's a way to find relief when trials and testings come and burdens that seem so hard to bear, it's to be found in Him. Here's a source of wisdom when you businessmen know not which way to turn. And I heard a testimony this morning that thrilled my heart. One of our men this week was pressed and faced with a tremendous decision that may affect his life and may affect his family and his children in days ahead. And he said a cold chills like waves swept over his heart when he looked at his watch and said, I've got to give an answer in 1 hour. I've got to give an answer, and it's got to be yes or no. And he said, I bowed my heart before God, and I reached on my desk for my Bible, and I opened it up and began to read. And as I read, I was seeking for an answer from God, and God gave me that answer. And he said, sweet peace swept over my soul when I decided to put Christ first above all else, even though it may mean my job. And that man seated right here this morning, knowing sweet peace and experiencing sweet peace in his heart because he put the things of God, he put Christ first in his life and in his decisions. God will give you the answer if you'll look for him. You'll find in him too the healing, the source of healing for the sick and the fount of cleansing from all the sins of the flesh. Yes, dear one, Christ is sufficient. Then put you on the Lord Jesus Christ, for this is the only way to escape the diabolical attacks of Satan as he comes at us day by day. The world, the flesh, the devil are arrayed against the children of God, arrayed against your effective living out there in the world. The world, the flesh, and the devil would bring you down in defeat and render your testimony of none effect, if possible. But it doesn't have to be that way. If you stand alone in your own weakness, you're an open target for the devil. But if you put on Christ, Satan cannot touch you. The only safe place for the Christian is to hide in the refuge provided by God himself, and that refuge is none other than the Savior, the Lord Jesus Christ. As Solomon said in Proverbs 18:10, the name of the Lord is a strong tower, and the righteous runneth into it and is safe. And David said in Psalm 143:9, deliver me, O Lord, from mine enemies. I flee unto thee to hide me. When Satan tempts, the thing to do is to turn to Christ at once, to hide in him, to rely upon his strength, upon his grace and his power, to put on the Lord Jesus Christ, and victory is at once assured when you do this. Satan may tempt, but he never shall reign. That Christ will never allow. Doubts I have buried, and this is my strain. Jesus saves me now. Jesus is stronger than Satan or sin, and Satan to Jesus must bow. Therefore, I triumph without and within. Jesus saves me now. Put you on the Lord Jesus Christ. Do this by faith every day, and you will find that he is your all-sufficient covering for every need of your life, for time and for eternity. It is a known fact that in dry, hot climates, where rain is scarce and where rivers are few, that the roots of plants and most trees reach far beneath the surface of the ground, so that they know not when drought comes. They're almost independent entirely of outward circumstances, because nature has told that tree to drive its roots deep within the bowels of the earth and draw from those inner springs that run there. And so when circumstances come that would be adverse circumstances to most plant life, those trees are able to stand. Now listen, so it is with the children of God who are planted in Christ. The roots of their life are down deep in the fullness of God's mercy and grace. They are not affected by outward surroundings. They are not affected by the appeals of the pleasures of this pleasure-mad world around us. And they are not affected by the changing fashions of this old world. They do not see when drought cometh. They are like trees planted by rivers of waters whose roots lie buried deep in the ever-flowing stream of God's eternal love and unchanging grace, and their leaf shall not wither. Child of God, he is the answer today. Make him the theme of your song and the theme of your life. Make his glory to be the preeminent thought of your living day by day, and God will bring you through victoriously and makes you to bear fruit for his praise and glory. Let's bow our heads in prayer, and Brother Robertson's going to come and make an application and give an invitation, and I pray that you will respond this morning.
Thank you, Doctor. Thank you. Now, friends, the thought this morning is Christ. Christ is all and in all. Come this morning. I wonder right now, while I'm just having people with their heads bowed, everybody's praying, everyone pray. If you'd like to move out of your place now, some of you have been saved already. Now come by profession of faith. Take your stand for Christ. Some of you want to be saved this morning. Come on right now, up in the balcony, all the way around, everywhere in the building. Some want to join with us by letter or by statement. Come on right now. Just slip out of your place. Come on by letter. And just stand up, walk down the front. That's right, by letter, by statement, by profession of faith, and for prayer, what is your need, just come this morning and find your place here at the front at once. God bless you. You're coming, and bring them on. You both just kind of slip to the side off the front bench here, those who have to move, and just let the others come and find their places. God bless you. Amen. Somebody else now. God has spoken to you with families and friends. Just come on. God's speaking to hearts. Put ye on the Lord Jesus Christ. He's our all-sufficiency. He's the one who answers every question, every problem. He'll take care of you today. We invite you to come right now. Without hesitation, leave your place and come on. Anyone else? Anyone else? Quickly. God bless your heart. Now let Christ have his way with you. If you're saved, are you living for him? Do you have an active church membership? Would you like to be a member of this church by letter of a statement? Come on. We'll take care of all of the details. Come ahead. We'll send for you a letter. We'll take care of that. Just present yourself. Have you been saved and ever baptized? Come this morning and follow the Lord in believer's baptism. Are you saved this morning, but you've been holding back on God? And you haven't been active in service. You want to come for rededication of life? Now, what is it that God's saying to you? Speak, dear Lord, to our hearts. Help us to see and know what you want us to do. Have your way with everyone in this building. Bring the people forward, others to come. In Jesus' name. Let's stand with bowed heads, please. As we sing together, have thine own way, Lord. Have thine own way. We invite you to come and sing it now. Have thine own. Yes. Have thine own. Just as quick as you can. Come on. I am the clay. Amen. Step out of your place. Come on. After thy will, while I'm waiting, let's sing another stanza. I'll give the word. Sing it now. Have thine own. Search me and try me. Master today, whiter than snow, Lord. Yes, quickly, come on. As in thy presence, humbly I bow. Everyone pray. You know there's so many folks today, just empty-hearted, empty-hearted. They have nothing at all, just empty. Now the message is to you. God saying, put you on the Lord Jesus Christ. Let him fill your soul. Let him give you joy and peace. Let him have his way. Put you on the Lord Jesus Christ. That's it. You don't have to go on like you are. Now, there's some folks just don't know how they are. I mean, they're so ignorant that they don't know where they, what they got. They don't know anything at all. But I'm talking about thinking folks who are standing here this morning, and God is speaking to you. You're saying there's an emptiness in my soul, an emptiness. There's something that I lack, something I need. We know who it is. It's Christ. Put him on today. Put him on today. Put him on today. Now, Father, have your way. Others should come. Bring them down these aisles for Jesus' sake. Amen. Look up, please. Pass me not, O gentle Savior. Let's sing it every voice now. Pass me not, O gentle Savior. Hear my little cry. Yes. Listen to it. He's speaking this morning to some hearts today. Let him have his way. My babe looks up to thee. Let's sing it from our hearts today. Every voice now. My Savior divine. Amen. Just a moment's time before we have another verse of the song. Put ye on the Lord Jesus Christ, and that reminds us of the song, My Jesus, I love thee, I know thou art mine. Do you love him this morning? Obey him. Have you accepted him? You say no, then accept him now. Jesus said, he that believeth in me hath everlasting life. He'll give it to you now. My Jesus, I love thee. Let the choir sing it. Just the choir. Sing it, choir. We invite you to come. Come ahead. We invite you to come. Come on. Yes. Someone else come along. We'll wait for you. Just wait for you till you get here. I do not see any others. Thank you. Be seated, please. Thank you so much. Doctor, if you're ready, sir.
Seated before you, Alice Williams, coming by profession.
Would you stand, please? Alice, do you believe that Jesus died on the cross to save sinners? Are you trusting the Lord Jesus Christ as your personal Savior? And you ought to follow Christ in baptism and live for him. God bless you, sir. Thank you for coming this morning.
And Mr. Mark Franklin by profession.
Mr. Franklin, do you believe that Jesus died on the cross to save sinners? Are you trusting the Lord Jesus Christ as your personal Savior? And you... follow Christ in baptism and live for him. God bless you, sir. It's good to see you. Thank you so much.
And Robert J. Ronsher, Jr. is coming with us from the Breezy Hill Baptist of Granitsville, South Carolina.
We're glad to see you, sir. We know your church, know your pastor, know the people over there. Good to have you with us. Thank you, sir. Amen.
And Carl Bruce Goldman from Huron Baptist in Oscoda, Michigan.
God bless you, sir. Good to have you from up in Michigan. Thank you, sir, for coming. Amen.
To your right, Kenneth Wright, by profession of faith.
Kenneth, do you believe that Jesus died on the cross to save sinners? Are you trusting the Lord Jesus Christ as your personal Savior, and you want to follow Christ in baptism and